7:39 at DWS. Dave Gentry, Elizabeth Hess. We're joined on the phone by this morning by State Senator Chapin Rose. Chapin, how are you this morning?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year, and apologies for screwing up December's call-in. How are you guys doing?
Well, that's all right. We're glad to have you with us this morning. How are you?
I'm okay. Yeah. Yeah. You guys okay?
Yeah.
We're good. One of the things I wanted to ask you about in December was the Governor Rauner appointments to the Mahomet Aquifer Task Force. He didn't leave anybody out, did he?
No, we did fairly well for our area. I think we ended up going 9 for 10 in what Senator Bennett and I sent in. And the one who didn't make it actually worked out okay. It was Dana Rhodes, the Pike County State's Attorney, who's a phenomenal lawyer, and it would have been good to have her on there, but her court call made it kind of time prohibitive. So it actually worked out pretty well, and we got a very good complement of folks here from the area. We got folks from Prairie Research Institute at the University of Illinois. We've got folks from the Champaign County Healthcare Consumers, which I know you're a big fan of, Elizabeth. We've got the mayors of Champaign-Urbana. We've got Jim Risley, who's a retired educator out of Mahomet and lives in the area of the People's Gas Spill. Riz is a guy that I think everybody in the Mahomet area looks up to and knows that he's got a wealth of common sense and has been a huge, huge piece of this community for a long time. The mayor of Rantoul, the mayor of Decatur, Hayworth, Bloomington. I mean, it's a good list. So our area will be well represented in the Aquifer Task Force.
And you have to submit your report and solutions to the General Assembly by July 1st. So how often will you meet?
Yeah, so I know that they're trying to schedule the first meeting shortly, and the only EPA is sort of housed within the EPA, so they're the ones who are in charge of getting the first meeting going. First of all, there's sort of amorphous. I mean, it's going to take on whatever shape it takes on based upon the members of the task force. But, you know, one thought that I have is that it would organize itself and then have several subcommittees that would look into different issues. Like, for example, I can tell you right now, the issue of maintenance and replacement and making sure that these underground pipelines are not leaking is a huge, huge issue. And that is something that's going to have to be looked at. The issue of what's being stored in landfills above the aquifer is a huge issue. It's going to be looked at. I also think, frankly, one of the sub-issues of that is you have all these closed landfills all over the countryside that were, you know, built pre-modern design standards, closed long ago. Nobody knows what's in them, and they're not protected. I think that's a major issue. And so I would hope that the task force would organize around some of these items, and I'm sure that there's 100 others that we could think of if we weren't limited for time on the radio, but then, you know, kind of break up and you know, kind of do subcommittees on those individual issues and then report back. You know, is the end of June realistic for the Normandy? Not sure. We'll see how it goes. We may have to extend, and frankly, one of the thoughts that I would have is have some permanency to this, so it's just not a one-off, because I think the issues of protecting our water supply are going to go on as long as there are people, you know, in our area.
That sounds like a big row to hoe in 6 months, so I mean that...
Well, but some of it isn't. I mean, you know, items like the lack of notice that was provided by People's Gas when they had the spill in the Mahomet Aquifer.
Okay.
You know, that issue is something that can and should be dealt with sooner. And so I actually am filing legislation on that. And then my hope would be that the task force could help make my legislation better and, you know, provide better notice, better partnering with local entities because, you know, almost 9 months gone by before anybody locally even knew that this had occurred. So there's a lot of things like that need to be looked at.
There are 32 pages of new laws that took effect January 1st, over 150 of them actually, including mandatory minimum firearms and tax credits, deductions, and other changes. So how do you come up with these laws? And of the 150-some that made the final cut, how many do you propose that hit the cutting room floor?
Well, so let's be clear, I didn't do 150 laws, that's for sure, right? So there's about there's literally thousands upon thousands of bills that get filed every year by the members of the House and the Senate, and as you just talked about, very few of them ever make it all the way to the final stage. I will say that for me, and I'll just talk about me. Right now, we've spent the fall kind of putting together our list of bills that we'll be filing in the spring. Some of them are reactionary to instances. Like, for example, we're gonna have several designed around this people's gas incident here in Champaign County. But also, I'll have constituents who just call me up and say, "Hey, have you ever thought about this? Or have you ever thought about that?" Well, no. But typically, what'll happen is if it's a good idea, usually there's more than one people that, more than one person that'll file the same bill or something very similar. And so there might be three or four versions of an idea filed, and then by the end of the process, they'll all come together. So, it is a lengthy process. I'll also say that most of the last 2.5 years, including the session these bills became law January 1st, was taken up with the budget debate, as it should have been. So, I honestly don't think that you're going to have as many bills filed this year as you would typically. We still have to have another budget done before the end of May, and I think that will have a huge impact in the spring session. But to answer your question directly, for me, most all the bills I put in come from folks locally, and they can be pretty broad impact, like, for example, environmental regulation, the aquifer or power lines and things of that nature that impact the entirety of the state of Illinois. Or they can be pretty simple, like my neighbor down the street said, "Hey, I'd like to take my girls hunting. They're not big enough to pull a compound bow. Can we use a crossbow for them instead until they get big enough to pull a compound bow?" And you know what? It turns out that was a great thing for their family, and he can take his daughters hunting, and it also helps kids all across the state of Illinois want to get engaged in the shooting sports with their family.
So most of what the legislature is going to be doing is kind of editing laws that have come up and about to be passed. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, it's amending things that have already been done and changing them, tweaking them.
Yeah.
But the budget's obviously that's always the big thing that consumes any session. And I'll tell you another one you read in the paper today. This probably isn't illegal in terms of a statutory change, but, this hobby coat situation in our local jobs, I first learned this yesterday afternoon, like everybody else, need to know more about it, have not... the company's not called me, but obviously I'll be reaching out today to the local EDC and folks to see if the State Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity can help. Although by the time you've filed, it sort of changes everything once you've made that filing. So
yeah, it sounds like they're pretty far along here the way it's described.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm not sure that there's anything the state of Illinois can do, but
yeah.
I think that we need to try to work with them and see if there's a way to partner with the local EDC, because, we want to protect, all jobs and grow jobs here in our region. So,
Senator, you mentioned the budget a minute ago, and before we let you go, you said May is the deadline. What kind of pre-game have you worked up in order to get going on the budget? Have there been talks about it yet?
Say free game or pre-game?
Pre-game.
Oh, pre-game. No, so traditionally, let me say this, there's always budget talks going on.
Yeah.
I mean, it sort of never ends, okay? But the traditional start will be in another month when the governor delivers his state budget address. But I'll tell you right now, one of the biggest pieces of this budget revolves around something called the hospital assessment. Well, the hospital assessment is something that hospitals pay that goes to for Medicaid beds within their hospitals, which then allows us to capture federal 50-cent federal match from the federal taxpayers for Medicaid bills. This ends up being about a $2.5 to $3 billion piece of our overall state budget. So it's a big chunk of our state budget. That assessment is using numbers from 2005 and 2009, and needs to be updated or we will lose our federal match, and that's a huge hit to the budget. So conversations like that literally are ongoing every day. I mean, yesterday I talked to I've talked to all the hospitals in our area and continue to make phone calls to others that are outside of your listening area but are in the 51st Senate District to kind of work through that issue. And so those conversations are always ongoing, but, you know, the governor will give a budget address, a state of the state address at the end of this month, and then roughly 3 to 4 weeks later will be a state budget address, and that's when the budget season, so such as it is, will really kick into hard drive. But, you know, I think there's going to be I think that there's several schools of thought on this. One is that you would hope for another budget. The other school of thought is that this being the gubernatorial election year, there's no way that Speaker Magan is going to give Governor Rauner a full budget. And for the same reason that Governor Rauner would want to go around cutting a bunch of ribbons, Speaker Magan will not want him to go around cutting a bunch of ribbons. And, you know, that's going to be a significant impediment, because I think the Democrats would take their shot that they would try to beat him and then come back and do a second budget with a new governor next January. Well, obviously that scenario doesn't serve the people of the state of Illinois very well. It certainly doesn't serve local institutions like higher education, for example, very well. We've proved that point over the last few years.
All right.
So we need to have a permanent budget.
State Senator Chapin Rose, thank you for your time this morning. We appreciate it.
Hey, guys, have a wonderful day.
All right,
take
care.
Thanks.
We got more coming up on News Talk 1400 DWS.